Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Jamie Nack and David Drake are in the studio with me once again. Jamie, UW Extension Wildlife Outreach Specialist in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology. Jamie, great to have you back.
Great to be here, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you as well. David Drake, Professor of Forest and Wildlife Ecology. And David, it's always great to see you too.
Well, likewise, Larry. Thank you.
I should probably turn your microphone on there.
No. How's this? Likewise, Larry. Thank you.
There we go. Now we're working. Now we're going. Well, we can talk about the bird count today. We can talk a little bit about the deer harvest and, of course, a whole lot more in that whole broad area of wildlife here in the state of Wisconsin. You may have a question for them. You may have a comment. Maybe you've got an experience to share. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of the page. And let's maybe we start out by talking about the deer harvest and then go to the Christmas bird count. Jamie, what the statistics about what we expected? Or?
Yeah, so right now we have what's being reported are the preliminary deer harvest numbers. So there's still numbers coming in being collected, and we have some more hunting opportunity coming up. So if we compare preliminary numbers in 2016 compared to 2015, we're 1,000, 2,000 animals short of that. So about a 1% decline from where we were at this time last year. The upshot of that is the buck harvest, the antlerless harvest, was up about 6 or 7%, and primarily in the northern forest region, that was up about 30% for the buck harvest. So that's pretty promising as we look to some of that data to suggest population health and current status. So, and I think another bright note, of course, there were 5 incidents involving hunters, and it's always unfortunate when those happen. However, that number has been either
pretty
no fatalities
low.
And it's been low. So hunting and the hunter education program and all of those folks who volunteer as part of that program have really helped to turn that statistic around from decades before. So,
and of course, there are still some hunting opportunities out there for deer.
There is. I believe today is the last day of the muzzleloader season, which follows mm-hmm. the 9-day gun season. There's also a statewide 4-day antlerless hunt in coming up this weekend. And then the in some counties, it's county specific, will be the holiday hunt. So you need to check the regulations and the state county map to determine what counties are eligible for that holiday hunt.
And of course, the archery season continues
and
forever.
Archery.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, goes on forever.
Yeah.
Well, what about the Christmas bird count? How did here it started back in 1900, David?
Yeah.
How did that get started?
You know, birding is one of these things. If we're just talking about hunting, if you look at the hunting statistics over the last couple decades, the number of hunters is pretty annually, continually declining.
Mm-hmm.
And birding, it just continues to grow. And even to this day, it is one of these outdoor pursuits that people are just flocking to, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always been this very, very popular activity. And back in 1900, we kind of came through this time. That was kind of the transition period where we started getting away from market hunting, and we were starting to appreciate more of the natural resources for what they are, not just the consumptive part side of it. And people like John James Audubon and Frank Chapman, who was the director of the Natural History Museum in New York City, and some other very influential people really made birding kind of a cool thing to do back in the day. And so somebody came up with the idea in 1900 to say, hey, why don't we do what's called a Christmas bird count? And it actually took place on Christmas Day in 1900, and it's been going on every single year since then. And it's kind of expanded. And National Audubon Society is in charge of directing the Christmas bird count across the country. And there's 2 citizen science-based bird counting events over the course of the year. One's Christmas bird count, and that typically takes place from December 14th to January 5th every single year across the country. And so if you go to the National Audubon Society and type in Christmas bird count, you can find out where in your local area you can get involved. And so the Christmas bird count, obviously, it is meant to inventory or to identify and count birds that are here for their resident birds in our mm-hmm. in our area. Obviously, down in Florida, they're the birds that are spending the winters down there, for example. And then in the summertime, we have the breeding bird survey. And so that is meant to count birds up on the breeding grounds. And so those two counts in time kind of give you a pretty good representation over the course of the year about what the bird population continent-wide looks like. And so this Christmas bird count is an epic event and has obviously been going on for over 100 years now and is really a neat event to get
And anybody can get involved in it.
Absolutely. Anybody can get involved in it, even if you don't have binoculars, if you've never birded before in your life. That's one of these events where it's not intimidating. New people are welcome, just like experienced people are. And a lot of times, I think that's one of the nice things about birding is people who are very, very experienced, if they find somebody who is just starting out, I mean, they almost bombard you or kind of overwhelm you because all the experienced birders want to really kind of take you under their wing, no pun intended again, to help you start birding. And so it's a really, really fun event. And you can go out on multiple Christmas bird counts if you want. You can go out just for the day. You can go out just for part of the day. So. And there's a number of routes here in the city of Madison, as there are throughout the Midwest and throughout Wisconsin, that you can get involved in.
So we can talk some more about that. I want to get Jerry from Waukesha on, though, as long as we're talking about birds. Jerry, hi. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. I just had a brief comment. I'm on Wisconsin 59 heading from Whitewater back to Waukesha, and in between Whitewater and Palmyra, I thought they were geese, but the sky is literally filled with separate flocks of cranes. They finally decided that it's getting cold enough, I guess.
I
tried to count some of the flocks. There were probably dozen to 15 each, and some of them were a lot more, and it's about every quarter mile you'll come across two or three of them, and they're pointing south. It's just I've never seen that many. I thought they were going to be geese by the sheer numbers of them, but as I got underneath them, I can see they're not geese, they're cranes.
Very, very cool. David, comment?
Yeah, well, so sandhill cranes are one of the last birds to migrate out of our area. They're, you know, what we call a late migrator. And because we've had such an unusually warm fall, there's a lot of birds that still have yet to go, and we also haven't had much snow down. So this morning, as a matter of fact, when I was leaving our house, I heard a flock of cedar waxwings, which is pretty late for them to be here because they're one of the earliest birds to return. Sometimes they're back in January. So if they do leave our state, they're not going to be gone for long. But, yeah, the sandhill cranes, that not only do they go in large numbers, but they're a large bird, and it's really impressive to see them. And my wife and I were in the Kenai Peninsula of Alaska a few years ago and in the fall, and we were there for the sandhill crane migration. That's not what we were there for, but we saw it while we were there. And we estimated that we saw 10,000 sandhill cranes at one time flying, and it's just I've never seen that many of anything at one time, and it's just so impressive to see that many birds in the sky.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jerry, thank you so much.
Sure thing.
Yeah, appreciate the call very much. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Does the Christmas bird count, there's a website for that, isn't there?
Yeah, it would be off of the National Audubon Society website. So we can perhaps link to that on your Facebook page, maybe?
Yeah, for sure. We'll get that taken care of. And on that site, there's information, more directions and so forth on what to do.
Yep, they've got a number of links you can go to, and one of the links is I think it's either get involved or join the Christmas bird count or something like that. But it gives you some history about the count, and it helps you understand how to get involved and the purpose of it. And you can see historic records by species if you want to, and by parts of the country and things like that. So it's pretty neat.
Well, when I think of great birders, I often think of birders here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And Jill Nadeau, one of the premier birders at Wisconsin Public Radio, is joining us right now. And she's here to help me tell you about the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end membership drive. Our single largest source of funding is listener support. And that means that in this season of giving, your gift is so important, and Jill, it doesn't take long, does it?
It does not take long at all, Larry. Just a few minutes, and you can call right now to support the programs that you count on and you enjoy with your year-end gift. How do I do that, you may ask? Well, you just have to go to WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552.
Last break, we heard, last hour, we heard from 20 callers. Thank you all for joining in with your contributions.
Yes.
Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500. This generous match is from current members, including a listener from Wanakee, and it means that they'll match every dollar you give.
That's right. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support for the programs that you love. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What does public radio really mean? Public radio means listener-supported radio.
Certainly. We appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars, but listener support is the single largest source of WPR's budget. Your contribution of any amount really matters. That's at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can make your pledge in the form of an ongoing monthly gift, say it's $15 or $20 a month, whatever amount fits your budget. You can set that up on your credit or your debit card, or better yet, right from your bank account. And when you make that sustaining gift, you don't have to remember to renew your support every year.
Oh, thank goodness I can do that, Larry. Otherwise, I never would remember. That way, your support will be as consistent as your WPR listening. See how that works? Month after month, year after year. I was just talking to a friend last night who says she turns on the radio every morning and she just listens all day. And I'm sure there's quite a few people out there that do the same. So you become a sustainer now. Make your ongoing gift at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
During this membership drive, we'd like to say thanks for your support in a very special way. When you pledge $5, $10, or $20 a month to support WPR, you can choose a thank you gift that will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank in your area. Let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio, and do two good things with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think that is such a cool idea. I hope you'll make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, here to raise the money that keeps this station and this program on the air. And maybe your gift is $5 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate it, and we certainly count on your gift.
And giving to WPR is easy. It's probably the easiest thing you're going to do all day. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay.
You can become a sustainer. It's really convenient to set up ongoing monthly donations directly from your bank account. Your gift makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And, you know, some of our regular guests are Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, who helps us out with pets, and Scott Graven stops by every once in a while. We have our consumer protection experts, our weather guys, and, of course, the bird guy, Bill Volkart, who'll be back at the end of the month.
And Jamie Knack and David Drake as well,
That's
who
right.
are with us today.
They always show up every other month.
And I tell you what, all these guests cover topics near and dear to your heart, I bet, and they give you advice and ideas. Because you've come to trust and appreciate these guests, I hope you will support this program with your dollars. Easy to do at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500, and that's in effect right now. So it's a great time to pledge, because current members, including a listener in Wanakee, will double every dollar that you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about what's important to you, family, friends, hobbies. These are things you invest in your time and sometimes your money. Giving to what's important to you, it makes a difference in your life. It makes you feel good.
And your pledge makes a difference, not only in your life, but in the lives of your neighbors and for WPR. Together, we make an impact on our community. So make a difference today with your first ever gift of $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And since you're listening, you've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, so now I hope you'll make that decision to support WPR financially. Simple as that. You really can help. Join, renew, make an extra gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect, and we have about $1,500 or so to go. So give now at WPR.org at or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
It's the season of giving. Support the radio you love and do some extra things for us. Choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month. And that money, there will be monies going to the food bank in your area. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Some recent studies show that forgiving people can be good for your health. Coming up at 2 o'clock today, Kathleen Dunn's guest says forgiveness is connected to better health, more happiness, and better relationships. That's at 2 o'clock. Right now, taking a look at the world of wildlife with our two guests, Jamie Nack and David Drake from the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology and UW Extension. Jeanette in Eau Claire up with us next. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
You're talking about the Christmas bird count, and I wanted to point out a unique opportunity going on in the Eau Claire area. Along with a traditional Christmas bird count in our area, we are having a Christmas bird count for kids that is being held at Beaver Creek Reserve on December 17th.
Oh, very cool. So the kids come out and get a little training? And
yep, it's for ages 4 to 12, and kids will be broken into two different age groups, and they will do various things like learn how to use binoculars, do some bird identification, do some different bird activities, and then the older kids will actually go out and do a Christmas bird count.
Oh,
that's just fantastic. Yeah, that's wonderful that you guys are pulling together an event and specifically targeting kids, but this is something that even for the traditional Christmas bird counts, take your child, take your grandchild, take a niece or nephew along with you and get them interested. So, and maybe we'll come back to some of these for gift ideas for the upcoming holidays as well that you can give somebody younger, you know, in your life to get them involved outside and introduced into birding.
And Jeanette, how do people get tied in with that?
They can contact Beaver Creek Reserve at their website to see the upcoming listing and then get the phone number to give us a call. And they need to register beforehand. And like I said, it'll be held on December 17th.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. Thank you so much, Jeanette.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yep, you as well. Very much appreciate your call. Well, that is really cool. How is the information all used, by the way? Here that we've got, I think the cool thing is since 1900 this has been going on, David, and there's got to be some good information gleaned from it.
Yeah, there absolutely is. And so essentially what it's providing is trend data. So we'll look at the trends of, for example, the robin population or the bald eagle population or whatever the case might be, and you can look at that over time and you can look at it as land use is changing, or you could look at it as climate change issues. So a lot of people will take these data sets, and these are kind of called big data sets, and they'll go in and start to analyze that data relative to whatever variable or factor they want to look at, be it climate change, land use change. It might be that they wanted to look at how pesticides like DDT, for example, affected, you know, select bird populations through the 1960s and 1970s. And you can see that, you know, there's this decline going on there with the peregrine falcons or some of the raptor species, for example. And so it really is a very rich and valuable data set simply because you've got so much data over and it is collected the same way year after year after year. And so there's you've got the same methodology going on. So you can understand that if you're seeing trends increasing or decreasing or holding the same, you know, it's not a methodological issue, but it's an issue relative to whatever variable you're looking at. Again, be it land use change or climate change or whatever you want to look at. So it is a really valuable data set, and a lot of scientists are tapping into it.
You can join in, too, at Open Lines. Get you on real quick at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. We have a link up to participate in the Audubon Society's Christmas Bird Count. It's up on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, so great to have that up there. If you need to link to it, why, just go to our Facebook page. Andrew asks in an email, he says this, the deadline's approaching to participate in the 2017 spring turkey hunt. And I haven't done that yet. As much as I've been enjoying the Wisconsin DNR app, I can't seem to find a definition of whether this hunt is for gun or bow or both. Would love to hear a little bit about this.
Well, thanks for the email, Andrew. And Larry thanks you, too, because now he'll remember to put in his preference for the spring turkey. But first and foremost, the December 10th is the deadline to apply for a spring 2017 turkey tag. It is also the deadline for the black bear registry permit as well. So in Wisconsin for the spring turkey season, you can use either bow or firearm. And it's split into six.
Can you use crossbow?
I believe so. I've not been on the app specifically to look for where this would be. I'm guessing Andrew's already done it by going through the regulations and then specific for turkey. If you're on the department's website, if you just did a keyword search for turkey regulations, they would come up and you'd have the full PDF of the current year's regulations, and then you can look for the language. Turkeys in Wisconsin are hunted both in the fall and the spring. In the spring season, we divide or spread out effort by spreading out the harvest over six seasons or periods that last for a total of 7 days. So starts in April, it goes through May. There's also a youth turkey hunt, too. So if you're looking to get a youngster involved, that would be something to look into.
What's the age range on that one?
I think it's 12, isn't it? 12 to 16, isn't it, for youth?
Yeah, I think that sounds right. And then the mentored would be 10 to 12. And also, there's a lot of learn-to-turkey hunt opportunities provided throughout the state, too. So I would start looking at those on the department's website starting in January, February. Look for some of those to be posted.
Do you need to apply now for that early youth hunt, or can that be done later? I think it can be done later.
You still have to have the license. So the license has to be purchased, but I think it's open to...
Yeah, other than once you have the license, you don't have to make any application. You just take...
Right.
As long as the person guiding the youth is licensed legally, then you can go out anytime you want during that youth. It's just one weekend. You can go out during that weekend, and you don't have to have anything beyond just the license for the adult.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
And then in addition to what Jamie was saying, so the state's broken up, or you have six different turkey periods, but the state's broken up into turkey zones as well, and I think there's five of those or something like that throughout the state.
Yeah, again, just kind of, there's a lot of interest in spring turkey hunting, so it divides the pressure across those zones and time periods.
And that's why it's probably a good idea to go to the DNR website, because those zones, you can see clearly which counties.
Yep.
I don't know if there are any counties that are split in zones. I'm just trying to remember off the top of my
head. Yes, there are, because I think Columbia County is one of them, which is where I often will.
so you have to be kind of careful.
Yeah. You do need to look at the map, and when you're going through, if you're going through the process online to apply, then you can actually click on the map and look at it so that you can be sure of what zone to put in.
Madeline from De Pere called in to ask, I was going to prep a new bird feeder at my new house. I've heard that there's a type of disease that could spread when birds congregate around a feeder. Could you provide more information on that?
Yes, Madeline, that's a great question. Thank you for putting a bird feeder up. We would encourage you to go ahead and do that, and don't hesitate or don't worry too much about this. But there's a number of diseases that animals are susceptible to. And again, when you feed animals in a concentrated area like we do with bird feeding, or obviously, baiting for deer in many parts of the state is now illegal because of the chronic wasting disease. But when you concentrate animals in a small area like that, around food typically, it is an opportunity for disease to spread more quickly than it normally would. And at bird feeders, one of the things you see is conjunctivitis, and that typically occurs in house finches. And you'll see that we've got two finch species, we've got more than two, but the house finch or purple finch are the two that you'd confuse, perhaps. Purple finch has more purple down the belly and down the back into the tail than the house finch does. But the house finch, you'll see this conjunctivitis is I guess similar to pink eye, really, mm-hmm. In a sense that it just causes their eye to water a lot, and it gets very crusty around the eyes, and sometimes it gets so crusted that the animal has a hard time seeing or possibly could not see, which then obviously has an impact on its ability to fly and feed and stay safe from predators and things like that. So that's what you'd want to look for. It's relatively obvious. Usually you can see it just with the naked eye, but if you want to get a pair of binoculars out and take a look as well, you can do that. And if you do start seeing that, you can report that. I think through eBird, they've got a place to report that. I know that sometimes the Lab of Ornithology at Cornell keeps that information. You could call the DNR county biologist to report it if you want to. Sometimes some of those biologists will take care of that or keep track of that. And if you see it, one thing to do is make sure that you want to take your feeders down so it doesn't, you don't congregate those birds so frequently. Yeah. Maybe take the feeder down for a couple of weeks, or maybe take the feeder down, dump all that seed out, clean the feeder out with maybe a weak bleach water mixture or soap and water mixture. Make sure the feeder's completely dry. Put new seed in, put it back out, and see if that won't help a little bit. But it's one of these things that it's unfortunately an annual event, and it is a disease that is just present on the landscape.
Probably thinking ahead, too. Now, in Madeline's case from De Pere, she's putting out a brand new one, so she's probably fine. But it may be at the end of the season, if you're going to take it down, that would be a time to actually do that cleaning then, too.
Yep, absolutely. And if if we get these... sometimes in the winter you get a thaw and it starts getting really wet, and if that seed gets wet, then it starts to get moldy inside the feeder. And if you start noticing that when you go to refill your feeder, pull the feeders down, dump all the moldy seed in the garbage can, clean the feeder out with either that bleach water mixture or soapy water mixture, dry the feeder completely, and then just rehang it with new food.
Yeah, it's more fun to do that in the summertime.
It sure is.
In the wintertime, yeah, I guess, turn the hose on it and really...
Yep.
Yeah, right. Really get it cleaned out.
Well, and while we're talking about bird feeders, I think, David, you can agree or disagree, but a lot of the calls that we receive with nuisance wildlife mm-hmm. stems from bird feeders as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
The other kind of care of a new bird feeder is when you have the spilled seed that's accumulated at the base of that feeder, it's a good idea to remove that, because that'll attract small mammals. Small mammals will attract larger animals. And so when we get calls about people being concerned about a fox or a coyote in the backyard, we start by asking whether they have bird feeders, and they're wondering why we're asking about bird feeders. So anyway, good husbandry, with the bird feeder as well, in terms of cleaning up that waste seed. So fine to go ahead and feed, and it's great to enjoy all those winter visitors, but we just want to take some precautions so we don't have additional unwanted guests.
Jamie Nack and David Drake from the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology with UW-Madison and UW Extension, our guests today here on the Ideas Network. Join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Maybe you've got a sighting or comment along those lines. When I think about clean bird feeders, I think of Jill Nadeau, because if you want to know somebody who keeps her bird feeder spotless, it's Jill Nadeau.
You have to do that, Larry.
You have to do it. And she's here not to talk about that, although she is an expert in that area. She's here to help me tell you about our fall membership, our year-end membership drive here at WPR. Your financial support is the foundation for all the great discussions you enjoy on the Ideas Network every single day. So I hope you'll make your gift right now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552, and we have a dollar-for-dollar match.
We do. It's in effect right now. It's from current members, including a listener from Wanakee. So your gift of $50 turns into $100, and $100 turns into $200, and so on. This is a good deal. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
I think one of our more popular programs is when we talk about the world of wildlife with Jamie Nack and David Drake and Scott Craven and some others from the DNR as well. I think this hour is an example of the kind of the fun and interesting and informative conversations we have on this show.
Absolutely, Larry. So just take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge. at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is personally important to you, I think, and it's probably also important for you that everyone in the state has access to this high-quality information and entertainment.
So true, Larry. So become a member with a contribution of, say, $5 or $10 a month, and you're not only doing something good for yourself, but you're doing something good for the whole community. So give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
People who listen, people like you, provide the most important share of WPR's budget. Your donation is, I think, it's an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in the programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Yep. And your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and our entire community. So please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
And you can join Bruce and pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, asking for your support of WPR during this year-end membership drive. And maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And there are so many things to love about Wisconsin. We talk about them all the time on this show. It's a beautiful state. The parks, the forests, the rivers are some of the best things about living here.
We like to think of WPR as part of what makes Wisconsin special. It's kind of like a natural resource, something that's available to everybody, something that's fundamental to life in Wisconsin. And with your pledge, you keep WPR a strong resource that everybody can enjoy. So I hope you'll contribute now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, we have that dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500 that's in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because current members, including a listener from Wanakee, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Still about $1,200 to go to reach that. So it's still time. Once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for, by the way. WPR is one place, I think, where that's true every day. You might consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
That's right. It's hard to buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day creates a lot of learning, music, news, and that works out to $60 a month. Make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're like Bruce, who we heard from just a few minutes ago, he's a sustaining member. Maybe you're one, too. Thank you so much for that. Your ongoing monthly contributions provide a reliable stream of funding for the programs that you enjoy.
So, you know, the end of the year is always a good time to kind of, you know, think back on the things that have really added value to your life. Take this opportunity to increase your monthly support for a few dollars a month. We're happy to help you do that. So just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. Have about, I'd say, about $1,200 left to raise. So, hey, double your contribution right now. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR goes twice as far.
And it's the season of giving, so support the radio you love and do something extra. Choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network as we take a look at the world of wildlife in the state with Jamie Nack and David Drake from the UW Extension and UW Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology. Great to have them along. Join in. Get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. And let's turn to Tanya in Madison next. Hi, Tanya. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning. I live on the west side of Lake Mendota. I've lived there for 26 years. And over the years, we've seen a lot of changes in the wildlife that we see. But had a new experience just at Thanksgiving time, which was we had what I'm pretty sure was an otter playing in our yard next to the lake. And I just wonder if that's would be a reasonable assessment of what this creature was. It's something I've never seen before, but we seem to identify it as an otter. I've never seen an otter in Wisconsin before.
Yeah, it certainly could have been an otter, and we do have otters in the Madison-Dane County area, especially with the large lakes that we have. So otters are one of four aquatic fur bearers in Wisconsin, the other three being the beaver, the muskrat, and the mink. And so the otter spends a lot of time in the water and on land and eats a lot of either fish or clams, mussels, aquatic-type prey. And they can travel great distances, and when they travel, they're often using rivers, streams, water bodies to travel. So if we get some colder temperatures, which are in the forecast for the coming weeks, and the lakes start to freeze up and the rivers freeze up, one of the things that you can do is take a walk on the river, and sometimes you will see the classic signs or tracks that the otters leave, which are a couple of steps, and then they will slide on their bellies. So you see this dot, 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 and then a slide mark. And so they're really easy to figure out their tracks. And they're super inquisitive. If you follow their tracks for a while, you'll see that they're checking out any open water and foraging in that open water, and then they'll pop back up and continue on down the way. So usually chocolate brown in color. And, you know, they're certainly
a bit larger than a mink.
Yeah, they're quite a bit larger than a mink. Yeah.
And the tail is unmistakable.
Long, heavy tail. And just super, super playful. Everybody talks about the otter being an animal that, you know, for a wild animal, appears to be having an awful lot of fun. So they are really enjoyable to watch.
Do you think that they would be living there on the lake, in the bank? Or, we're about a half mile from the inlet of Pheasant Branch, and I've heard that they live up there, but I wonder if they're habitating by the lake.
Yep, they would be a year-round resident in the area. They're distributed throughout the state, and they're going to look for places where they have access to open water. So with the lakes and the temperatures we're having, they're likely to stay around for quite a while.
Oh, great.
Very cool.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tanya. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Marcus on Facebook says, if you're in or near Wisconsin Rapids, our Christmas bird count is Saturday, December 17th, just like the one in Eau Claire area. He also says that they're looking for volunteers. So you can find Marcus Sievers on Facebook. And he actually posted on Facebook, so you can find him that way. If you're interested in volunteering or participating, that's the folks in the Wisconsin Rapids area. So that's cool for the Christmas bird count. Becky says on Facebook, I'm seeing a red-bellied woodpecker on my feeder. Might it be staying during the winter, all winter?
Yes, red-bellied woodpeckers are one of the many species of woodpeckers in our state that are year-round residents. So they will be here, and whether you have feeders up or not for them, they will still be around. And there's plenty of insects on the trees that they can eat, and they find some other food, regardless of whether you have food at your feeder for them.
Very cool. And let's go to Lee in Green Bay next. Hi, Lee. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I would like to ask your guests, I have a question about the muskrat. I've got on my property my pond that's roughly 3/4 acre just for wildlife. I've seen a muskrat in there the last few weeks, and I always hear bad raps against muskrats that, oh, they'll take and they'll make your, you know, like your banks cave in. And so I was just wondering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. I wouldn't, you know, I'd kind of wait and see what happens on your particular pond, but where they can be a concern or a nuisance is when you have either a dike that's been used to create a wetland or some type of berming that's creating that wetland. They can make bank burrows, and also the lodges that they have or runs in the bank, so there can be some erosion by building the holes. So it's good to monitor that, and if it's becoming a problem, then they're fairly easy to trap. You can remove the populations, but if they're, you know, if they're not causing any problems, you don't have the dike, you know, mm-hmm. to create this particular pond. They're another wildlife member to enjoy. They're one of their major prey or predators would be the mink. So that's an animal that you might also, you know, bring in as a result of having muskrats and that whole pond environment. So they're part of the system and another animal to watch and enjoy. And yet there's some options to take if you do have some damage.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
So one other thing the muskrats might do is they will devegetate an entire cattail pond. So if you have cattails in there and you want to keep some vegetation in your pond for waterfowl or for amphibians or something like that, that they can completely eat out all the vegetation in there. So as Jamie said, you've got a number of options. And one of the things that this is, muskrats are what's called an unprotected species in the state of Wisconsin. So at the time damage is occurring on property you own, it is your right to, if you wish to, you can lethally remove that muskrat by gun or trap or whatever the case is, as long as it's legal for you to discharge a firearm in the location where you are.
Okay, there we go. Thank you so much, Lee, for calling. Mark in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Mark. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Just, a real quick story and then a couple of questions. This past deer season, as I sat in my stand, I have an old rotten popple tree in front of me. And I watched a red squirrel climb up the side, and he went in a hole, and he rooted around. All kinds of commotion, and he stuck his head out, and he went back in again. And this went on probably three times. It was almost like he was maybe making a nest. And then all at once, in the end, probably four or five one-by-one flying squirrels came out of the same hole. And they, you know, put their little arms out, and they glided out one after another. And then the red squirrel kind of came out and chirped a little bit, and then he took off. I guess my question is, do those two get along?
Yeah.
And then also, do flying squirrels, I guess, den up or live together like that?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, really interesting observation. That's great to share. I haven't heard stories like that, but I'm not all that surprised. Red squirrels are pretty notorious for being pretty feisty given their relative size compared to other tree squirrels. But in general, you know, these species, red squirrels are going to be active during the day, flying squirrels active at night, not necessarily coming in contact all that frequently, and, you know, probably not all that competitive between the two. However, red squirrels will eat bird nests or nestlings and eggs, and whether they're on the ground or in the trees. So this squirrel might have been investigating that cavity for a potential meal. So, and flying squirrels will hole up or seek shelter in a tree cavity in addition to having their young in the springtime. But they certainly will revert back to a cavity during the daytime for shelter. So really interesting observation.
Really cool. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, boy, when you're not seeing any deer, they put on quite a show.
Yeah, provided a couple minutes of entertainment at least.
It did. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions and with your comments. And when I think about flying squirrels, another area that Jill Nadeau is noted for is for her expertise with caring for flying squirrels. And she would probably talk about it with us. But I think she instead would rather talk about the year-end membership drive here on Wisconsin
Definitely.
Public Radio. You'd
Definitely.
Rather talk about that? Okay. Well, I tell you what, as you're listening in here, you count on WPR for in-depth talk on the issues, and we count on you to keep those discussions going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's right. And people can email me with those flying squirrel questions, Larry. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. We can't forget about that. So it's from our current members, and it includes a listener from Wanakee. So that means that your gift of $50 actually turns into $100, and $100 turns into $200, and, you know, it keeps going. Well, take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
From 11 to 12:30 every weekday, we take a break from the news and from politics. We focus on advice topics. We talk about the outdoors, interesting things going on at the university, health issues, finances. And, you know, of course, for example, today we're talking about wildlife here in the state.
Right. And there's a not-so-secret ingredient to this winning recipe, and that's listener support. Your support. You make the program possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you can make a 9XM leadership contribution of $100 a month or more. We have many folks who do that. Listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio, certainly the most dependable source of income for this station. And 9XM members are an important part of that picture.
That's right. So help us stay strong and continue to grow with your leadership gift. That's at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The end of the year is a great time to think about what's important to you, and chances are WPR is on your list. In a world that's always changing, you rely on WPR to be a constant, to keep you company, inform, and entertain you, and bring you the programs that you enjoy every day. It's all possible thanks to listener support. Your support today makes our future together possible. So give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, asking for your support of WPR. And maybe your gift is $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose. That's the right amount.
That's right. And then when you make it that decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, you might be thinking about the best way to make your gift. Well, think about becoming a sustainer. That's the answer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or your credit card, and you set it up to be ongoing.
Being a sustainer is a powerful way of donating because it gives us reliable funding. It's convenient, fits in your budget. So choose an amount, say $10 or $20, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, sometimes we forget that people may have just only discovered Wisconsin Public Radio. And we want you to know that WPR is listener-driven, not profit-driven. We're able to bring you more programming per hour because we don't have to take time out for long blocks of commercials.
Our business is to inform and entertain you, provide quality programs for you to enjoy. WPR, your station, and it's only possible because listeners like you give what they can to support it. So show your support right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we still have that dollar-for-dollar match for up to $2,500.
And only 2 minutes.
That's right. So we got to go really fast, and we're getting so close. All we need is you to call. So please, double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is probably a preset in your home or your car, probably your home and your car, you listen to WPR a lot. Time to become a contributing member.
Absolutely. That's where my buttons are on my radio. Help pay for the station that you listen to so much. Make the switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. You can start with a pledge of $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
About a minute and a half to go to reach our goal of 25.
We're so close, Larry. We're short.
At WPR, you get to choose how much to give. Any contribution, any amount makes a difference. Here are some suggested amounts. The same amount you pay per month for Netflix or for cable.
Or coffee or whatever you buy in a regular basis, which, like WPR, is probably something you look forward to every day. So pledge now. You pick the amount. Your pledge makes a difference. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're getting up to about a minute to go. We still have $350 to go to reach, and it's over and done with at noon. So it's still in effect. We still have about $350 left to raise. So please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
That's right. And it's the season of giving, especially to those we love. And I know you love and support WPR, so do something extra. Oh, you can also choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
George from Madison donated because his pledge will be doubled if he contributed during this hour. You're absolutely right, George. Kurt from De Pere says, I'm a longtime listener and I thought I should contribute. Finally. Well, I tell you what about you? Have you contributed yet? If you haven't, boy, now is really the time to do it, as we're running out of time here to reach our $2,500 goal. Call right now at 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org and make your contribution. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network, taking a look at the wonderful world of wildlife with Jamie Nack and David Drake from the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison and UW Extension. Great to have them along. Don in Warren, Illinois has something for us. Let's go there next. Don, hello.
Hi.
Thank you for calling.
Hi, I just got a new book, The Hidden Life of Trees, and it's by Peter Wohlenbein, W-O-H-L-L-E-B-N, and it's one of those aha books. I've read it now the second time. I just never closed it. I just started over. It's the front again. There's so much information fits into. Oh, that's why that happened. Oh, that's how that works.
No.
You got to have that book. You got to read it.
Well, there's a good holiday gift idea.
Yeah, that would be excellent. I'm intrigued to check into that book.
Yep. The author should hire you to go out on a PR tour.
The Hidden Life of Trees. Marika Suvala, our on-air producer today, maybe you can post that up on our Facebook page. We'll put it up on the page. And if somebody's interested in looking more into it more, well, they will. Thank you. Thank you very much, Don. Ray and Rhinelander, your turn. Hi, Ray.
Hi. We are in the beginning of our Siberia winter here. We have 18 degrees with 15 to 25 mile per hour winds at 8 below.
Oh.
Anyways, the other day when I was out on my land, which is just northeast of Rhinelander, and from Rhinelander up to certain areas starts partially boreal forest. If you spend any time up here, you will see with the lowlands, et cetera, the conifers. Anyways, I was out on my land, and I saw a Canadian gray jay come around me, and they have that unique sound. I have seen them up north farther. I have not ever seen one this far south of Rhinelander, even though we are up north. And I was wondering how far the range is. Also, I'm noticing there are ravens that are coming down this way more. And also, I'm seeing, I know the difference between crows, but I'm seeing some ravens that it almost seems like there's different sizes. Do they have that with ravens? I've seen ravens all my life, and they're, of course, they're larger. But also, people, don't forget that in your urban areas, there's plenty of wildlife. Like Madison, you have Pheasant Creek area, and there's so many. When I did my internships down there, I never had a problem finding wildlife, even in the city and around the city of Madison. There's plenty of it. There's plenty of places to go. Happy holidays, and take the comment off the air.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Ray. David, we'll turn to you.
Okay, Ray, thanks for the question. So Canada Jay or Gray Jays, you'll see them dipping down into kind of the northern part of the United States, and so it's not terribly uncommon that they would be in your area there. And we sometimes get birds, especially birds, snowy owls and things like that, sometimes great gray owls, hawk owls that will push south into the northern part of the United States, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, in certain winters. If, for example, the winter is pretty harsh up in Canada, the snow depth, maybe they don't have enough food up that way, they'll push south. So it's neat to see them, and it's not terribly uncommon that they would be in your area. In terms of the ravens, the raven is just, again, it's a great big black bird, just like a crow is, but it's substantially larger than a crow. And ravens, you know, crows here, our American crows, are calling caw, caw. The raven calls cronk, cronk, and yeah. And has, it looks like somebody broke its nose. You know, it's got this big kind of bump on its bill, so to speak. And just like human beings, you know, we get some people who are playing in the NFL who are 6'6", and we've got some gymnasts who are barely topping 5 feet in mature size. And so you can see sometimes ravens, different size ravens within the same population. But also, right now, they're going into the winter, and as you mentioned, you're getting to your Siberian winter up there, and they will look a little bit bigger in the wintertime because they're puffing up their feathers for thermal regulation. They're eating a little bit more, so they've got a little bit more fat reserve on them. And so they might look a little bit bigger now than perhaps at other times of the year as well.
You know, it's really cool to be sitting in a North Woods, in the North Woods, and on a quiet day and hearing those ravens call. It's really something to hear. Yep. I love it.
Yep, they're a neat bird.
Yep. Brian in Appleton, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Brian.
Hi there. Well, we live in Appleton, and we're pretty close to downtown and by the river. We have a unique little ecosystem because we're on a ravine, so we have a wooded backyard. It's about a half an acre, and we have wildlife everywhere. We have deer, we have turkeys, we have gray horned owls, there's nesting bald eagles nearby, all types of squirrels. But lately we've been noticing some screeching, and actually we've noticed it since we moved in, but there have been some screeching that is very distinctive. When we first moved in, we thought it was almost an animal being attacked. And we've seen, of course, the great horned owl, and we know that it can sound like that when it's young, but I'm thinking from what we've heard and what we've seen that it could be a barn owl. Are they in Appleton or in, especially in a wooded area?
Well, sounds like you have quite the wildlife paradise there. So it sounds like a great place. And thanks for the...
It can be.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. So there are, you know, we always hesitate to say never in the world of wildlife, but it'd be pretty unlikely to be a barn owl. They're an endangered species and typically south of Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin. So we have about 10 to 12 owls in the state, depending on the time of the year and whether we have some owls coming in from northern from Canada. But more likely, especially if you haven't had a chance to actually see the owl yet, it sounds to me like an eastern screech owl. And they're an owl that's smaller than that great horned owl you mentioned, only going to be about 8 inches or so. But what I would suggest you do is go to a website like the Cornell Lab of Ornithology site, which is called All About Birds. And if you just type in those three words, you'll get to their website, and you can search under the Eastern Screech Owl, and it'll have descriptions, life history, all the ecology about that particular bird, but also there will be sound archives. So you can listen to the different calls that it makes. And sometimes given bird species have a song, a call, differences between males and females, and they'll have a lot of that those voice recordings there. So I would go there and play around with the screech owl and see if that sounds like those noises that you're hearing.
Yeah, if you could see it, a barn owl has a pretty distinct...
Like a heart-shaped facial.
Face, yeah.
Facial,
yeah.
White facial disc. Yep.
So, and I didn't go that direction because it sounds like you haven't actually seen the owl but heard it. So that's what's making me think screech owl. If you had seen the owl and suggested barn owl, I would probably suggest that you look at some of our larger owls, like the barred owl, as just a case of misidentification. So
I've got a carved full-size barn owl Bob Googie, famous
cool.
wood guy did, and so I see that right on my mantle every day. They're very distinctive.
Yeah, and beautiful.
Thank you so much, Brian. Appreciate your call very much. We had an email from Matt from Wausau wondering, when is the DNR going to start being more proactive in deer population management? In many parts of the state, regeneration of trees is being severely affected by overbrowsing. Deer have exceeded the carrying capacity to the point that our woods are becoming monocultures of invasive species.
Yeah, Matt, that's a really good question. And deer management in the state of Wisconsin is a contentious issue, no matter who you ask. So the DNR, Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, is the agency mandated to manage the deer population, obviously, in the state of Wisconsin. And they've got a delicate balancing act on their hands. They're trying to balance reducing the amount of agricultural damage by deer vehicle collisions, natural resource damage, as you mentioned, in terms of tree regeneration, and damage to other native plant species. They're trying to satisfy the hunting public, and most of the budget for the DNR is generated by the hunting public. And so, as you notice, that the DNR announced widely that the buck harvest was up because most hunters want to shoot a buck. So that's a good thing in terms of satisfying the hunting public. However, bucks are not the ones that are contributing the fawns to the population. And one of the things is here statewide, the antlerless population, the antlerless harvest was down about 6%. So in those areas where you're trying to actually reduce the deer population and the negative consequences, you want to shoot more does than you want to shoot bucks. On the other hand, they're trying to also manage CWD, and CWD is much more prevalent in adult bucks than it is in adult does. And so there's really delicate balancing act going on. One thing you can do, a couple of things you can do to try to control the situation in your local area and on your property, for example, is you can get involved in the Deer Management Assistance Program or the DMAP program if you're not already, and that gives you as a landowner some latitude in terms of deer tags and things like that and how you distribute those deer tags and to who. But the other thing, the DNR has gone to what's called CDACs, County Deer Advisory Committees, and there's a deer advisory committee in every single county in the state of Wisconsin. So if you have not been in touch with your CDAC in your county, I would go to the next hearing or get in touch with the chairperson of that CDAC and let them make sure that your concerns are known. Because the CDACs have a tremendous amount of control right now in setting deer population goals for a particular county. And so that's a way that you might be able to influence deer harvest and the associated impacts in your county.
And where do we find that?
If you just go to the DNR in their search engine, when you go to the homepage, if you just type in CDAC, CDAC, that should pop right up. And then all the information you need to find county-specific should be there.
John from Madison says, we have bats in our attic, and they always seem to be very active in spring and fall. This year, they just didn't seem to want to go into hibernation. Is this due to the warmer weather? Well, while they drive us a bit batty, we do worry if they have enough to eat to sustain them through the winter. Which species do overwinter in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so, we just discovered a new bat species in Wisconsin, and it's the evening bat. So we've got the evening bat, big brown bat, little brown bat, the northern pipistrelle, and the long-eared bat. So there's five species that overwinter in the state of Wisconsin. There's three species that leave our state, the migratory tree-roosting bats, the silver-haired hoary, and the red bat. So of the five that we have overwintering, it's most likely the big brown bat is probably the most common species that's associated with human buildings and dwellings. And you are right, because we've had such an abnormally warm fall that species that typically would hibernate, go into hibernation, or would be migrating out of our area are late to do so this year. So They will be okay. They should be okay as long as they get into their hibernatory area and they're not disturbed there. And they'll just they'll hibernate just fine and wake up again next spring, and you'll see them, and they'll be driving you batty again.
Yeah, there we go. And just looking at a couple of quick gifts, I like the DNR State Park Access Pass. DNR.wi.gov is a great one. You can subscribe to the DNR Natural Resources magazine. I just got the latest one. It was on snowshoeing.
There's a lot of interesting. That magazine, that subscription is just a bargain.
Yeah.
Just under $9, six issues a year, and lots of different topics through all the seasons of enjoying Wisconsin's outdoors. So it's a really interesting read.
Yep. I get that for free as part of my...
Conservation patrons.
Sure. Patrons license that I get every year. David Drake and Jamie Knack, our guests. Jamie, a UW Extension Wildlife Outreach Specialist in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology. David Drake, Professor of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison and UW Extension Wildlife Specialist as well. And, you know, when I like to think about bats and how to bat-proof your house... One person comes to mind, and that's Jill Nadeau, because when it comes to keeping them out of your house, she's the one to go to. And she's with me, not to exclude anything here, but to include you in our year-end membership drive. It's your chance to support the WPR programs you count on every day. The programs that keep you in touch, informed, and interested. Your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important as we end this year and look forward to 2017. Well, and we heard from a lot of people last hour.
We did. We did. We had 32 members that helped us make our match, Larry. We're so excited that they got us there, and so they doubled their money. And our goal this half hour is to get 10 pledges, which is very low. I'm sure we can do that.
I'm sure we can, too. You can support the station you love and help us meet our goal. When you give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm sure you've been enjoying the conversation that we just had with David and Jamie. They have so much really great information. And this hour is an example of all the interesting and substantial, really, and, well, quirky conversations that we have on this show.
So I hope you'll take a few minutes now to make this hour and many more possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then go ahead and make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, during this year-end membership drive, pledges have been coming in from $5 up through multiple thousands of dollars. So why don't you consider joining the 9XM Leadership Circle with a gift of $100 or $200 a month for the programming essential to your life. Make that leadership gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we've been partnering with food banks throughout Wisconsin since 2010 to help those in need. Second Harvest Food Bank CEO Dan Stein talks about the challenge hunger poses for school-aged children.
One in every five children struggle with hunger sometime during the course of the year, and it's very, very sad to see the impact that they're going to have long-term to their education if they end up dropping out. So if we can get them good, healthy, nutritious food, keep them in school, help them graduate, help them perform, everybody wins. And teachers will be the first one to tell you how important this is.
This drive, when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month, consider asking for a food bank thank you gift. It's your chance to make the grade at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, and we're here to raise the money that keeps this station and this program on the air. So Maybe your pledge is $5 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on every single gift.
And so far, Larry, it looks like we have 7 more pledges to go, and we have, oh gosh, about 6 minutes to do it in. So please give to WPR to support the station that you love. This is your public radio.
And thank you, of course, if you've already given. If you haven't, you can help pay for those programs you enjoy right now by making your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, as you know, on this program, we cover topics like environmental and consumer issues, gardening, how-to topics. We have Wisconsin authors and Wisconsin food. You get a lot of great information from this program, and it's possible because of your financial support of Wisconsin Public Radio. So support this program and all the other programs you enjoy on WPR with your pledge. That's at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Become a member. Listeners make the programs here on Wisconsin Public Radio worthwhile, but members make the program possible.
That's right. And you get all these great shows because members kick in a large portion of WPR's budget, the single largest part. Become a member now. Help make WPR possible with your gift of $5 or $10 a month or any amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We love to hear stories about how listening to WPR affects people. I know one listener said that WPR provides a full meal for my mind and my soul. How about that?
Wow.
I like that. Another one said, listening to WPR calms my mind, but also engages it.
We have some really great listeners. They're very eloquent, aren't they? Because of those are familiar feelings to everybody. So make a contribution, because your contribution keeps you healthy, and it also keeps WPR healthy. So give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're down to 6 now. Someone just contributed $120.
Yay.
Thank you so much for that. You can also help pay for the programs you depend on. Looking for 6 more pledges, as I said, in the next 4 minutes or so. Make your donation right now. Support the programs you enjoy at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, maybe you're a sustainer, or you've already given this drive, or you renew your membership in the mail. Either way, thank you. We sure appreciate your support.
There's still something more you can do to help. Encourage a friend to join the Wisconsin Public Radio community. Sometimes, you know, we all need a little bit of a nudge from a friend to do the right thing.
That's a great idea, Larry. So, you know, help us grow our membership. Motivate a friend to make a pledge right now. Tell them to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we have such a great community of listeners throughout Wisconsin Public Radio, all the programs. But for this particular program, I'm all, and as we look ahead to 2017, I'm always so grateful that Wisconsin Public Radio has such strong support from you. One gift at a time, you can provide our single largest source of funding. If you haven't given yet this year, now's your chance to do that. We appreciate your special end-of-year gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Okay, Larry, we're down to 3 more. We only need 3 more calls, and we've got about, 3.5 minutes or so to go. So please help us out. Give your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Every bit really helps.
And this pledge drive, you have a chance to do 2 good things at once, as we've been talking about. Choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $5 or $10 or $20 a month. Do that right now. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, now's a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. You do ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. So get started now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift is really powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. 202-2552. We're going to be going away now, but I'll tell you what, you still got about a minute and a half to help us reach our goal. So go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution.